It is quality, not quantity, that counts. Was Aesop writing about screen time and adolescent mental health? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Jed Kim, in for Molly Wood. It feels like we're constantly bombarded with news stories about how screens and technology are destroying our kids' mental health. Turns out, though, when it comes to adolescents, those negative impacts of screen time may be overblown. Michael Lynn Jensen is an assistant professor of psychology at the University of North Carolina at Greensboro. She led a team that did a longitudinal study, following up with a group of students over a couple of years, asking how they're using tech and how they're feeling. Then they collected more than 13,000 observations on hundreds of those kids, and the results were pretty different from a lot of the familiar headlines when it comes to kids and screens.
I would say I was a bit surprised, but our findings are actually quite consistent with an emerging body of literature, which suggests that these correlations that have been observed between technology and mental health are actually quite small. And those small effect sizes perhaps were gleaned from the earlier studies when not all teens were using technology to the same degree. In today's day and age, where the vast majority of teens are pretty digitally connected, it looks like it's more normal for teens to have a lot of engagement online, and that perhaps it's not linked with negative mental health outcomes.
And there are also some definite positives associated with screens and time spent online.
Yeah, so the broader literature has recently suggested that teens who are most needing support actually go online to get it in the form of social support or maybe searching for information about their mental health difficulties. And actually, in our study, one of the few significant findings that did emerge was that those teenagers who were the heaviest text messengers, who spent the most time messaging, actually reported less depression than those teens who were less frequent text messengers. So that might mean that perhaps teens are using these online tools, so like text messaging, and that it's serving as a strength, a source of social support, for instance.
You know, as parents, we do have some tools to establish, you know, parental controls over what our kids are doing and seeing. Is that a good answer, or is that being oversold?
This study would suggest that if parental controls are based just on time, so like the number of minutes that your kid can watch Netflix in a day and then it shuts off automatically, I don't know that that's going to be our magic bullet for helping kids use technology in a way that is pro-social and aids in their development. If the parental controls were more nuanced and got at the quality of what kids are doing online, maybe, but I don't know how effective those are at this point. I think my advice for right now, where the technology stands, is that it's important for parents to talk to their kids, and that doing the legwork is probably a better way of making sure that your kids stay safe and using technology in a way that's helpful, not harmful to them, rather than relying on a new technology that we're not quite sure yet how it works.
Michael Lynn Jensen is a clinical psychologist and researches psychology at the University of North Carolina at Greensboro. She suggests spending time with your kids, watching the YouTube videos they like, or, you know, even playing Fortnite with them. Yeah, they'll beat you, but you can ground them for dancing over your corpse. And now for some related links all about screen time. You can judge for yourself how much you should fret over them. The Guardian reports on how many UK teens are adhering to recommended daily activity guidelines. There are three. Get at least 8 hours of sleep, exercise for at least an hour, and spend less than 2 hours looking at screens. What percentage of teens achieve all three? Less than 10%. The exercise one's the real killer. How do American teens fare? I don't know. I was too afraid to look, especially considering I myself fail on each of the goals. The Independent is a story that's a fun read, even if I am a little suspicious of its scientific merit. A survey polled 1,000 nursery workers. Most of them believe screens are hurting kids' creativity. Here are some relevant numbers. Fewer than half of them report that children at their daycares have imaginary friends. And 72% of nursery workers say imaginary friendship is down from 5 years ago. I say, who needs imaginary friends anymore? Hey Siri, let's go play in the magical forest.
Sorry, I couldn't find in the magical forest in your music.
Never mind. Finally, the website Healthline has a story that tries to correlate teenagers' eye problems with increased screen usage. A figure they quote says 35% of 13 to 16-year-olds needed glasses last year. That's a 75% increase from 2012. It says kids' eyes are more susceptible to damage from light. As a possible solution, the article suggests light-blocking filters you can put on your kids' devices. I'm Jed Kim, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.